can say amen to the things that were shared here this morning already. So you just ponder some of those things. You know, maybe speaking for myself, times that I find myself not responding the way that I would like to is because I forgot to be prepared for the battle. I think that there's nothing to fight against, or that things that I'm in a safe territory in. So I find myself responding not equipped. I think we were challenged in that we need to be equipped, prepared for battle, and we can be. Every morning we rise out of bed and we seek the Lord. We recognize who we are. We recognize our fear for man and fear of man, and we need to lay that down and remember that we're serving Jesus and that He's the most important person in our lives, So I was just blessed and challenged by those thoughts. I'd like to just pause and have a time of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just pause before You here this morning again with thanksgiving. Thank You, Lord, that we can be gathered together here. We thank You for Your Word, for Your promises, for the admonition that we can find in Your Word to draw ourselves towards You. Lord, we just pray that You would, that You would just minister to each one of our needs and that You would have Your way. We ask, Lord, that You would speak to us this morning through the preaching of Your Word. I pray this morning that You would be with the ones that are not here with us this morning, that are visiting other places or traveling. Just ask, Lord, that You would keep Your hand of protection over them, that You would bless them, that You would protect them, that You would use them this morning, Lord, to minister to the people around them. We thank You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was pondering the things, what to share here this morning, and looking at some of the things that I had shared in the recent past, just like to look at two verses that, just to remind us of some of the things maybe that I had shared in the past. And taking care of our wounds, and we think about that, we think about a verse that I would like to speak towards that in Psalms chapter 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. When we choose to come to Jesus, This is what we can expect, what we can experience when we do that. And then in Psalms chapter 51, verse 17, serving Jesus, surrendered, a heart that has let go of self and that is surrendered to Him. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. And that's found in Psalms chapter 51, verse 17. And just pondering those things and thinking about what God would have me share here this morning. And thinking about a new year. You know, we like to, sometimes we like to hit the reset button and start over, so to speak. And, you know, the fact is, as believers, we can do that moment by moment, day by day. As we follow Jesus, you know, we find ourselves going through our day, and our day starts unfolding in a way that we don't like. And we find ourselves making a mess of things. We can't stop. We can stop and we can turn our hearts towards Jesus and say, you know, this isn't going the way that I want. And ask Jesus to help us. Help us to start over. Help us to start responding and living in a way that would bring honor and glory to Him. And so we have that privilege. And He invites us to do that. So as we think about the beginning of a year, and as we look over our past year, just like to again remind us that choices that we make, they do have results. And I think that we're all aware of that. And so I'd just like to help us to think about that for a minute. You know, as we reflect, as we look over our past year, decisions that we've made and the places that those decisions have taken us, are we satisfied with what we see coming from those choices? And even more, as we consider that, you know, sometimes what we, if we're not careful, it's easy for us to deceive ourselves and we think that we're satisfied. But even more importantly, I would like for us to consider, is Jesus satisfied with the results that He sees coming from our lives? After all, He has made an investment into each one of us, I trust. And so the question that I think is even more important for us is, He satisfied? The way we choose to relate to our families, to our church, the way we choose to serve Jesus, where do we put Him? I think we were reminded this morning already, in our workplace. Do we display Jesus, or do we try to make Jesus blend into the situations that are at hand? The way we choose to raise our family. We can look at many areas in our lives, you know, the way we choose to spend our money, to spend our time are those areas bringing honor and glory to God this morning? And, you know, as we ponder that, as we look at our choices, do we learn from the decisions that we've made in the past? It's easy for us in the beginning of a, you know, when we start over, when we hit the reset button, it's easy for us to make a decision and we jump and things are going to be different now. And if God is behind it, if the Lord is prompting us and we keep our, if we keep our hearts, our minds, and we're receiving strength from Him, we usually, those moments are successful. But it is easy to decide to do something and we, so to speak, jump from the situation that we're at. And for a little while, things change. For a little while, we're satisfied with the way things are going. But if we're not careful, we as people, as if we allow our ways to settle in, it's easy for us finding ourselves landing again at the same place that we jumped from. And we've probably all been guilty of doing that. And I know that that is not God's plan for us. He desires to see His people change, to grow, to become more the way He wants us to be. As we consider about choices, as we consider, you know, we think about decisions, I like to consider that as seeds that are planted. Every seed that you place into the ground, if it has at all any conditions to grow, is going to try to grow. If all the choices that we, decisions that we make, and we would consider them as seeds that were planted, if they succeeded to grow and produce results, produce fruit, what would it look like? Is it producing fruits of righteousness? Those choices that we make, what kind of appetites are they creating in our lives? And as I thought about that, you know, in thinking about appetites, thinking about the food that we eat and what we get used to eating, we create appetites for that. And I think an example is I grew up eating, when we ate desserts, you know, the full measure of sugar was usually put in the cake or the pie that was made. And so that tasted good. I liked that. Well, recently we had some company and they brought some of their dessert along. And it tasted really sweet. Not used to it. I'm used, my appetites have changed. I have a wife that realizes that lots of sugar is probably not the best thing for you. And so when we're used to eating desserts with, I don't know how much sugar, you know, if it's half the amount of what the recipe calls for. But I've gotten used to that. That tastes good. It feels right. And I like it that way. And so I guess what I'm saying is the choices that we make, the things that we find ourselves doing time and time again, whether they be God-honoring or whether it's something that is watered down. We find ourselves, whether we like it or not, we find ourselves creating an appetite for that. And eventually we like it that way. You know, when you drink coffee, if you're used to drinking black coffee, that's the way you like your coffee. But if you're used to drinking it with two creams and three sugars, you know, if you drink black coffee, it doesn't work. We don't like it. And so I think we get the picture. In Galatians 5, verse 16, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The choices that we make, you know, we won't get away with it. We will reap the things from the decisions that we make. We are not always responsible for the circumstances we are in. But we are responsible for the choices we make in those circumstances. Question that I would like to leave with us: how often are we in circumstances that are difficult because of previous choices that we made? Like to just look at some examples. If you turn with me to Genesis We look at Genesis chapter 13. We look at Abram and Lot. Going down to verse 5, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt, take the left hand. Then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked, and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. A familiar account, I believe, but I think there's something that here that we can be reminded of. We see Abram here realizing that they were in a difficult situation. They had more animals to feed than the same area could supply, and they were struggling to get along. And seems like Abram was in charge, and he called a meeting here, and he said, look, this isn't working, and let's do something. And, you know, man, when we look at our own interests, you know, it would have been easy for Abram to say, you know, I'm going to be here, and you can be over there. But Abram took charge, and he said, you know, this isn't working. You choose where you want to be, the land that you want. You go in this direction, and I'll go over here. And Lot looked around, and he was looking what would benefit him the most, what he thought. And he chose to go towards the cities and where things look well. And for a time, that was probably the easiest thing to do. But as we follow that story there, we see that the choice that Lot made put him in difficult situations down the road. And so we see here is a very good example of how previous choices sometimes make our lives more difficult. But the other thing here that I appreciate in Abram here is he didn't demand a certain thing, but rather he presented the options as choices. And I think that is a really good picture of what God does to each one of us. You know, He expects us to make decisions. He places life before us. And every day, we will find ourselves looking this way, looking that way, and we decide that this would be a good choice for my day. This is what I'm going to do. And sometimes we find ourselves making good choices. And sometimes we don't think about the future, and we just make decisions based on what feels good, what looks right. You know, from the eyes, what the choice that Lot made seemed like a pretty good choice. Sometimes we find ourselves confronted with choices that are hard. And we look, we ponder, and we find ourselves choosing not to make a decision. We made a choice. Of not making a decision. In 1 Kings chapter 18, and I want to talk about choosing not to make a decision. Father, and I just, as we come into this, just want to remind us that choosing not to make a decision and choosing to ponder and to try to understand, and that there is a difference, and we'll get into some of that. But if we go to 1 Kings chapter 18, going down to verse 17, Elijah meets up with Ahab here. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, "Art thou he that troublest Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou, and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the grove 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. And then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophet are 450. We see here that Elijah presented to them the Lord God, to follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people stood there, not speaking a word, not making a decision. And we see the results of them just standing there and not doing that. We see that in the end, that they lost their lives because they chose not to, they didn't make a decision. How easy is it when we find ourselves in a tough spot of, it's like, well, I'm just not going to make a decision. I'm not going to speak up. And I think, you know, probably a good example of that for us today is in sometimes in small ways of what Chad mentioned to us this morning. We, instead of making a scene, instead of lifting Jesus up and declaring who we serve, we just choose to stay quiet. Sometimes we're afraid of decisions. The choice of leaving our options open, making a decision later, looks appealing. The choice of not getting involved. The choice of keeping our time to ourselves. The choice of freedom. The choice of staying neutral, free from all responsibilities. The choice of not needing to serve anyone or anything. No commitment. Total freedom. Feels good. Sounds like something that our flesh would like. After all, we don't want to make a mistake. We don't want to eliminate our options. So we simply choose not to make a decision. It would seem, as we look in 1 Kings here, Elijah here meeting with Ahab, was the prophets, and as he spoke to them, that maybe that's the approach that they took. They didn't want to get involved. They didn't answer. How often do we find ourselves choosing to serve this God of open options, keeping our options open? You know, as I pondered this, these thoughts, you know, this thought process, this way of thinking, it's so easy for us to let that slip up on us. It feels safe. It feels like we're free. Feels like we don't need to make a commitment. We turn to Genesis chapter 3. We see from the beginning that God intended for us to make decisions. Starting in verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, that phrase could possibly be a good thing for us to be aware of. When it is pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. We see here that God had placed a tree in the middle of the Garden of Eden, and he put it in a place where they could see, they could observe, they could touch, they could pick of those fruits. And he also told them that they were not supposed to. It was there, they could. So they had choices to make, day in, day out. And the time came that they listened to the wrong voice, to the serpent, the enemy that was trying to destroy. And they chose to listen to that voice. So we see that God had intended for them to be able to make that choice. And God doesn't force us, keep us from this world, but he gives us choices. He calls us. He desires to give us strength so we can conquer, so we can be successful. But he does allow us to choose. So what kind of choices are we making? You know, I'm thinking, as we look at Genesis here, that walking by that tree, not making a decision, you know, doesn't really fit into this picture here. You know, we try to kid ourselves sometimes and think that, well, just not making a decision feels like the right thing. It puts me off the hook. But there comes a time when we find ourselves there that the reason that we choose to go down these little roads is because we don't trust. We don't trust the outcome. And the end of that means that we have a lack of trust for God. It is right to be careful, to pray, to seek God. Those are good. To seek counsel. I believe that God has designed that we do that. You know, I'm guessing that Eve would have been very wise in doing that. You know, it didn't sound right. It sounded good, but didn't sound quite right. And when we find ourselves in those situations, it is good not to make a decision. It is good to stop and ponder. It is good to seek the Lord, to seek other godly brothers and sisters in our lives. But in the end, as we make decisions, God wants us to rest in Him. To rest in His goodness. He wants us to choose to commit. And then to rest in that decision. Be wholehearted. Single-minded. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, we see that Jesus chose us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose you. Jesus is committed to the work that He has begun on the cross. He's committed to each one of us. His desire is to give us salvation. We have God's Word telling us His goodness, His greatness. Do we choose, as we look at those things, do we take that choice? Do we make that choice of not deciding? Are we willing to trust God? Recognizing that He is all that I need. The God of open options. Keeping things safe. In our own thinking. He will only leave you with disappointments. Your dreams won't be met. We must choose. We cannot serve two masters. The choices that we made, the choices that we are making, are they bringing honor and glory to God? As we look at the choices that we have made, are we satisfied? Are we holding something back? Are we choosing to trust? Are we choosing a life of surrender? Perhaps we find ourselves choosing to not make decisions. Things that we know that lay before us, and we choose to put it off, thinking that we haven't made a decision. Let's listen to God's word, to His Spirit. Allow our hearts to be softened, to be challenged. As we look back, you know, it's maybe easy for us to do what Eve did there in Genesis. And yes, this was one scenario, but maybe we find ourselves in this situation in different ways. And we look at life, we're looking at life ahead of us, but our enemy brings up things that have taken place. Things that we talked about in the last couple of weeks. And we find ourselves not believing God's word, not trusting. And so we sometimes it's easy for us to make that choice of choosing not to. And we know that in the end that won't get us where we want to be. So in closing, a verse that I would like to leave with us. Wherever we find ourselves, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. We have been reminded today, I believe, you know, we will face challenges. Sometimes we find ourselves prepared and ready, and other times we fail to equip ourselves and we get caught off guard. Let's be strong in the Lord. Let's not stop. Let's not find ourselves getting weary, but let's encourage one another, challenge each other to keep pressing on. May the Lord bless.